It started with a coup. It became a revolution. Now it's the voice of a people demanding to be heard. At Insight Myanmar, we aim to document this unfolding story, one that reflects the resilience, courage, and determination of a nation. Join us as we explore the voices shaping this pivotal moment in history.
Welcome back to all of our audience. With the military's sham elections, at least the first phase of them, coming up very rapidly, we have decided to convene a panel of three quite prominent activists who have quite varied experiences and history within the field, and ask them to introduce themselves one by one in a second. But we will obviously be discussing the upcoming sham elections, and we will be looking at what we expect the result of these elections to be, the impact that they are likely to have, and also what the military have been doing in the lead up to the elections, how they intend to run these elections, and what activities have been undertaken and will continue to be undertaken to try to undermine the value of the sham elections to the military as a tool of so-called political legitimacy.
Thank you for inviting me. My name is Pramin. I was born and raised in Kachin State. And also currently right now, I'm living in Chiang Mai and also studying at Chiang Mai University. My organization is Kachin State Civil Movement, founded after the coup 2021. And also we mainly focus for our democracy movement, federalism, and also environmental justice in our state. Yes, thank you.
Minglaba, this is Dinsan Lei. I've been acting as the deputy director for anti-sham election campaign committee since 2022, representing the general strike committee. So, as a member of general strike steering committees, we together came up with this strategy initiative forum, and then again we form anti-sham election campaign committees. Thank you.
Minglaba, hello, I feel glad to be able to speak with all of you. This is Swati, and my name is Al Musa. I'm from the anti-sham election campaign. I'm working as a director at this campaign committee for the timing. I came from Democratic Party for a New Society. I've been in the movement for since 86, 87, 88, since there until now. For the timing in our groups, sound like I'm an oldest guy for the timing. That's all I'd like to introduce you. Yeah?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So let's kick things off with that. So we'll go back to Brang. So I know that you guys, all three of you, are obviously working on the anti-sham election committee. You are very engaged with positively undertaking activities against it. So can you tell us a little bit about the strategic initiative forum and the anti-sham election campaign itself?
Yes. The ASEC is like a kind of alliance. Normally we focus for the anti-sham election for coming on December 28 for the new military organized that elections. We aim to protest and also boycott these kind of sham elections. So under ESCC, we have several organizations and also several activists and also student group also are joining in the ESECC and also across country are participating in the ESCC, yes.
Excellent, excellent. So then let's look a little bit at these elections. So I'll move to Thin Zashune here. So with these elections, we were supposed, in theory, I understand constitutionally, we were supposed to have elections after, I think, a maximum of 2 years of a quote-unquote state of emergency that the military granted themselves in 2021. We appear to have overstepped that boundary by quite a few years. How is the military presenting this? Are they presenting this as completely in accordance with the laws of the 2008 Constitution? Are they sort of ignoring the fact that they have violated their own constitution yet again? Is this being touted as a completely normal, regular return to democratic elections, or is this being presented as something else?
So with that note, I'd like to mention about the recent report that we released on December 19th. So we had a report called The Biggest Scam, the 2025 Sham Election in Myanmar. And in the report, we have laid out all the questions that you just asked about like how the military has been planning the sham election and why we call it sham elections, you know, with the facts and figure that we found out. We verify our claims through these findings on the ground, what the UEC has been going on and how they've been trying to frame the electoral system into their will, into their favor. So when you do check out this report, it's all available online in Burmese and English as well. So with that note, regarding the sham elections, so the first time they reformed the UEC Union Election Commission is on February 2nd, 2021. So they reformed it and they appointed. They arrested all the UEC officials, including the chairman and also including all the other different political figures. So they arrested all the previous, service member of the UEC, and they reinstall the military-led UEC since February 2nd. That clearly show they already had a plan to redo the elections. And that's what they said in their first speech of Mia Online. They say they're going to come back with a new elections, you know. So, but amid all of these promises, amid all of these plans that they have made, people decided to stage a revolution. And I see what's the main point. Like now they are doing it in 2025. They promised to do it in 2023, but they couldn't do it. In 2025, they are doing it. So these are already expected outcomes, you know, expected kind of stage planned. But the only reason, the only thing that's different from all of it is we, the people and the revolutionary forces, no longer recognize 2008 Constitution that enable these kind of elections. So that's the main difference between the junta and the revolutionary groups. So whatever they've been doing under 2008 or not, as long as it's not under the revolutionary demands and, you know, a political framework that we are seeking, is not accepted. So currently in under 2008 Constitution, we abolished the 2008 Constitution. The first reason is because they themselves have violated the 2008 Constitution. The Constitution itself was drafted by the military in 2008. But now they have violated their own constitution. They arrested the presidents and they reinstall everything and they control all the three pillars of the power, like executive, judicial, and administration and all of the pillars. So this has already destroyed the 2008 constitution mandate and legitimacy. So now they are reinstating this constitution and organize another election. We see is purely sham and all the different grounds that in our position paper that released on February 1st, 2025, also have clearly stated we have five positions, and I will share later about that. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It's a very detailed and in-depth answer, and we appreciate it greatly. So moving from this to a very related topic, Wang Zhou, I know that you are part of the Democratic Party for a New Society, and I want to ask you, if I can, about the ways in which the military have made things difficult for genuine, legitimate political parties to be able to exist, to be able to be recognized. I understand that the election law has been completely changed by the military, although obviously, as Tin Sajune has said, no one recognizes any of the laws that the military has passed, because why would they? But I want to ask you, Wang Zhou, what difficulties as a political party, what difficulties do you face currently, even being registered, even being recognized, even being able to exist and operate as a political party?
If you look at the our history, actually Burmese political history since 1962 to until now, you will see that this picture very clearly. That kind of coup happened in Burma, not only now, since 1962, 1963, 1964, 1969, and then over 70, 71, 72, 73, again 69, and then again in 1980s. Yeah, just before this, this happened also. How to say, there's so many demonstrations in our country. You have already witnessed. So this kind of things are happening not only in this time, but also in previous time. Series of demonstrations, series of killing, series of arrests. So that kind of demonstration happened again and again, again and again. It is mainly regarding with political power by the military. They're trying to be in the power, how to say, powerful position. And every time, this time also, Aung San Suu Kyi or National League for Democracy had a big threat for them. That's why they're trying to exclude Aung San Suu Kyi and National League for Democracy. They like to, how to say, they like to be in power in every situation. That's a main reason. Not only election, if we talk about only election, it's not only enough. It is about the power of the military. Actually, they like to control the country all the time, all the period. That's a main problem. Therefore, I think we are in the revolution, we can say. We are in the opposition. In that situation, we like to remove the military from the politics. Military should go back to barrack. So this is what our demand. We have to, how to say, we have to put them back in the barrack. This will be the, how to say, this will be the ambition or objective of our, how to say, our battle. That's all what I would like to say. I do not know whether you understand me or not. I try to understand. I understand my best. Actually, this battle is military and the entire people. Not enough if we focus on the election only.
I do want to ask again specifically whether there are any actions that are being taken by the military to make it difficult for pro-democracy political parties to exist, because I think this lays an important framework. If the military, and I'm sure the report will touch on this, but if the military is holding an election in which political parties that disagree with the military are not even legally qualified to participate, then obviously that is just yet more evidence that the election is completely fraudulent and completely illegitimate and non-democratic. So this is why I want to ask about this. So is there anything that you have experienced or anything that you have seen that has indicated to you that you as a member of a political party or the party itself is being suppressed or is being denied the opportunity to exist within the political community?
As a political party, not only our party, but also there's so many political parties not to join this election or not to join their election. For example, like SNLD, China National League for Democracy, it is very hard to say powerful political parties, Obama, they also do not register. Do not register as a political party, but they are still running as a political party, but not officially registered at the Union Election Commission. Union Election Commission is actually like a police department for the political parties. They check everything. They check everything for the political party. Also, without their permission, we political party cannot do anything. So if we want to do something, we have to request their permission or their agreement. That's kind of things what we have to run on the ground. But for the time, the worst end of that situation, I think for the party membership, for the party officers, for the places we are going to set up our officers, how many officers you have to set up, where you have to set up, that kind of things. So every detailed things, I think we need permission from the Union Election. So actually it is kind of police department for the political parties. In this situation, it will be quite difficult for us to able to how to say to be able to how to open up the doors. I think do we able to how to say promote the democratic rights in this situation. So it is quite difficult for us to be able to tell the people that we are the democratic political parties. Actually, we cannot run freely under this Union Election Commission.
But this feels very much like a repeat of previous chapters of Burmese electoral history, as Wanzo was pointing out. Where we look, for example, at the 2010 election that was obviously so fraudulent from the get-go that everybody wanted to boycott it, and many obviously did. So I want to ask you, Brangmin, you come from the Kachin context, and there has historically obviously been quite a bit of discontent from the Kachin as well as many of the other minority groups around Myanmar as not really being part of the body politic, not really having equal and legitimate space within the political realm within Myanmar, which is dominated by groups like the military and dominated by predominantly Burma ethnic groups. And it seems to me, from what I've seen, there are a few ethnic minority political organizations and entities around Myanmar that seem to be willing to play this sham election game, that seem to want to participate to some degree, at least, although I can't obviously speak for these political entities. My question to start with is, do you feel that there is a certain sense, a certain feeling, a certain desire on the part of some ethnic minority political organizations to seize the opportunity to use these sham elections to at least bring awareness to themselves, to their existence, bring political legitimacy to themselves, and try to establish themselves within the political sphere in Myanmar, which for a very long time, many of them have felt that they did not have the ability to do.
As for the discussions, I'm also, I think in 2020, I'm also one of the first-time voter in 2020 elections. And also I voted for the political party that I was with at the time. And after 2021, the military coup happened. And also we really disappointed, even though we voted for the political parties that we like, and also we believe the party were doing the Naypyidaw parliament and also crave for our Kachin state better future. But yes, we also, why we, as a Kachin ethnic minority in the Burma, we find God in 2025 election is, it's not a kind of like a real elections. It's kind of fake election because they want to extend their power, their military power in Burma for legitimate. Yes, in that election, our Kachin tribe and also our Kachin state, other ethnic people also like want to participate in the election process. Mostly, like current Kachin, like SSBC Kachin State Administration team, like Kachin State Chief Minister Kating Nan and their alliance, and also sure participate in the election. And also, military is using like the buy and rule policy since independence in Myanmar. We also like. I admit, or we also have some kind of issue between Kachin ethnic tribe and also between indigenous people like Shani people, and also between Kachin and also between KIA and also Shani people. The military created like those kind of conflict. Yes, right now I see in the Kachin state situations, military using to the Shani political party, they kind of like create tension between local Kachin people and also Shan people, and also between KIA and also between to the Shani people. Right now, mostly I see is that political party and also like a military alliance, Kachin party, are also trying to participate. They want to get a party in those kind of situations. But I believe for the Kachin state people, they really, actually, in the situations in the ground, people cannot say freely, even though they don't like those kind of parties. But people need to be listening and showing them like they are accepted those kind of situation right now. But most of the people on their mind is like they don't like those kind of party. And also, in Kachin state election is not just not very famous issue currently right now. The whole state right now facing like fighting between KIA and also between the Myanmar military. Mostly, we are facing airstrike, artillery attack in Pakan Township and also in southern Pomor Township and also in northern Kachin state. So right now, the important thing is the election is not important for the Kachin state people. Yes. Thank you.
Really appreciate that. And so on that point, moving back to Dinza, there are, we've seen from the military announcements that a very large number of electoral regions are not even going to be considered eligible to vote. That due to what the military would simply call the security situation, but obviously the physical manifestation of the Myanmar people's rejection of the military's authority, they're simply saying, well, regions that are under NUG control, that are under PDF control, that are under ERO control, they're not going to run elections in those areas at all. Do we have a rough understanding of how much of the country this would exclude from the electoral process?
Actually, this kind of like electoral disenfranchisement happened in 2020 election as well. You know, for the security reason, there was no proper consultations with the civil society and people in these areas. Like, for example, in Rakhine and Chin State and Shan State, also There was a huge disenfranchisement and also discrimination against the Rohingya people in 2020 election. And we kind of observed, you know, all of these electoral process and the 2008 constitution were like deeply flawed. And basically because of the electoral framework itself, it wasn't fit with who we really are as multi, you know, ethnic states that were designed for federal democratic nations. But we were put in under that 2008 constitution forcibly, and it wasn't fit. And that's why we still had a civil war and even a genocide in the past 10 years, you know. So now it's time that we are reviving what was wrong in the beginning. And again, now we are seeing the same pattern of the military doing the same thing. And security, you know, reasons will again violate the same thing. So for us, it doesn't matter whatever reason they will give. There will still be discrimination, exclusion, and disenfranchisement, and any sort of electoral process, as long as it's being held by military itself, they will make sure they win the election in the end. So this 2025 election, where it's also orchestrated by the military, ensuring they instill the military rule for a long term under 2008 constitution. So this year in 2025, 72 township, you know, there are different phases, three phases. They announced there will be three phases. The first phase, we're going to be on 28, it's going to be in 102 township. And the second phase is on 11 January, it's going to be covering 100 township. And 72 townships, we're not going to be following 25 January, and it's going to be third phase. So and they canceled 56 entire township. And the number of township actually could be higher than this. We don't know. You know, things are changing all the time in this moment. It's dynamic. The dynamic is really huge. Also, there is a growing arrest of the dissent against the elections, and they call it election protection law. They have already charged more than 300 people, and the biggest charge they have ever made to one of our colleagues is like 49 years in prison. You know, so they could even send these people in lifetime imprisonment as well for simply protesting the election or simply like hitting like button on the social media. They could be jailed for more than 10 years, something like this. This kind of arrest, torture, and continued bombardment in different ethnic areas. There is a growing airstrike in the different resistant area as well. Basically, trying to power over a different ethnic minorities and resistant areas to submit to them. So this kind of behavior mindset and the pattern that we have been seeing is definitely the big reason why there will no be a peace or like there will no be no submission from the people. There will be a continued revolution against their plans. So we are foreseeing. Even though they are organizing an election and they were trying to pretend there is a civilian-led government, there will be some politicians coming up and representing some sort of, you know, in the parliament and so on. But amid all of it, the reality, the main root cause of the problem is not addressed. As long as the root cause of the problem is not addressed, there will be continued revolution and continued resistant against this kind of behavior and mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, very likely. And actually, on that point, I would like to call on Almozo. So I'm not going to presume to know how long you have been closely observing Burmese politics. I'm not going to estimate your age. I will leave you to decide how much of your history you share. But on many of these points that Tinza Jule was sharing, the military, when they hold elections, those elections generally seem to be guaranteed for the military to win. And I'm sure that you would have closely observed and remember the 2010 election, but also the 2008 constitutional referendum, the 1990 election, and I don't know how much further back you would have been politically engaged, though you care to admit to being politically engaged. But these, I think we can all agree, considering the turnouts that were reported, especially for the 2008 constitutional referendum, and the results of these elections, they were unrealistic. And when we look at the 1990 election, where the military lost, obviously we see in the instances where they do run a legitimate election and they do lose that election, they will invalidate that election, they will void that election and punish anyone who dared to oppose them and dared to win. So I'm asking, based on your experience, based on what you've seen from the military over the decades and how they approach elections, what do you expect to see? What do you think is going to be the outcome of this election? Is the military going to announce 99% voter turnout and 103% public support for the military, or do you think they're going to try to be a little bit more subtle with it? Do you think they will try to run a legitimate election and then invalidate it if it doesn't go their way? What is your prediction?
I think if you look at the election related law, the sham election related law, some of the seats they have already won for the. Since now, they have already won. So, we do not understand that they are electoral systems. The first person vote, it will be okay. We can see clearly. But second, like a PR system, they are going to use. We do not know what they are going to do. Some of the representatives can be the MP. Even without entering the competition, so some of the generals they are now already become MPs. They already become the elected persons. So when we look at their election law, it is quite difficult. First part about, I think the majority. We can see clearly, but for the proportional system, what kind of system? Even those who are now enter the election, they do not know. For example, someone from the Gokoji party, they talk about one thing. Someone from the Dotada Kai party, they talk about something. Someone from the USDP, they talk about something. From one answer, another person answer, they are different. So it is quite difficult for me. What I want to explain is, it is difficult to understand for me to do their PR system. So in this situation, we are finding. So definitely they will win. Definitely they will win. They have already set up everything set up. So in we know that they will win, but how they are going to win, we are not quite clear at it now. So for regarding with their electoral law, it is quite difficult, quite difficult. So also the second thing is also my interest, that the problem I do not have much interest in their election law. My interest is we need to get rid of them. This will be the main thing. But if we look at the electoral laws and electoral system, even though now the many MPs, many like USDP members and Gokoji party's members, some other party members, they are doing kind of campaigns. They are talking about several things. So it is quite difficult for me to understand. So what they are talking. So it is my main problem for the timing.
And I want to just follow up. You said that under the election laws that they've been changing and amending a number of candidates, a number of generals, as you say, have already won local seats. They've already won their seats in the Hluto. Can you expand on that a little bit? Do you mean that literally? Do you mean that there are certain voting districts whose electoral outcome has already been decided and publicly announced, or are you speaking a little bit more metaphorically?
They do not publicly say, they do not publicly announce, but what I see is that if you look at the how to say Mimi or some other area, if you look at the Nibiru area, the many generals are in the electoral how to say gathering, and they are how to say they're giving a different kind of speech in different area. This is one thing. Another thing is, for example, the USDP chairperson and then some other key person from USDP are from in a different area and organizing a deputy, they are doing. So these generals, the way they are doing the political gathering and giving the speech, and then the places where they go, and then now the places and former USDP people, USDP persons, what they are doing is a little bit different, a little different. For the main area like Memu or some other area like near Pimana, in these areas, many newly, USDP leaders who came from the army recently, they are taking the position in different places and close to Nibiru and the Memu and such area. And then like UKE or some other USDP members, the place they are going to contest the election, a different area, far, far away from Nibiru or far away from Hounsou Memu in this area. I think if you look at USDP members who will be a candidate and former USDP or old USDP member like UKE, the people are a bit different. This is what I see for the timing.
So it already seems very, very questionable, and the process, the electoral process, hasn't even begun yet. But I'm starting to see the strategy and how they're trying to do things. And so with that, coming back to Brangmin, I know this is perhaps a very simplistic question and a question that you've probably been asked quite a few times, but I do feel it's important for us to lay it out. What do you think is the hope of the military through this? Because the elections in Myanmar have for a very long time been considered to be fraudulent to such an extent that even in the 2015 election, the international community's expectation was that even if the NLD does win, the NLD will never be allowed to take their seats in Naypyidaw. And they were, to a lot of people's surprise. So there's already a lot of criticism of elections in Myanmar. People within Myanmar have rejected the military. They've rejected the 2008 constitution. They've rejected the electoral law changes. Everyone calls this a sham election. What does the military hope to gain by doing this?
Yes. The answer is also very simply, the military didn't want to lose the power since 1962 until today. So elections kind of their way to legitimate their power in Burma. I think since 2010, after the 2008 constitution was approved by the Myanmar military. So election, we have been failed, I think, already 3 times. But how do I say it? That's not people's choice. In 2010, we also see the same situation like in 2025 coming elections. Most of their military alliance party won the military seat, like a parliamentary seat in Nibido. And also they did continue their power. And also in 2025, if they want to really like clear and open elections, why they still detain like President Wu Wei-mian and also Dong San Suu Kyi and our college political prisoner, state prisoners? Actually, if they really want to do those kind of elections freely and open, they must release those kind of political prisoners and also our colleges. So if they release, I think that might be kind of elections for freely, we can say, but yes, you can see they stay detained, those Dong San Suu Kyi and also President Wei Mian and also other our political prisoners in state prisons. And also they released numerous law and also changes. And also, even though their political parties didn't know how the election process, who will be elected and who will be, what kind of election process, the people didn't know that the system is very complicated. Even though we watch and their election process, but still complicated for me as well. So for us, like Kachin State, we right now the whole state has been cut off internet. The people cannot access the information, and also even some area have Starlink Wi-Fi, but the military right now they seize those kind of Starlink in Putao Township. So we don't have those kind of information for the election, and also. People also don't interest us, and also they do like the very complicated process. It's very sure for their continues to power, stay in power for oppress the people. Yes.
So I want to follow up on a few things, but the first one is you mentioned obviously the continued detention of a few. A very large number of key political figures, activists, significant individuals in Myanmar's struggle for democracy, including Aung San Suu Kyi, who is obviously a very deep and significant democratic symbol for the people. Her son, Kim Aris, has recently been in the news. He has made the assertion that he believes that his mother either has passed away or may have passed away, and that the military is covering this up. The military have responded and they have said, no, Aung San Suu Kyi is fine, but they have provided absolutely no evidence to this end. I know it's a little bit off our topic, but I do think it connects well to what you were talking about. I want to ask you, do you believe that Aung San Suu Kyi herself and other key pro-democracy activists, voices, political actors in Myanmar who are being held in detention. Do you believe that there is a realistic chance that that those people, some of those people, including obviously Aung San Suu Kyi herself, may have passed away in military custody, and that the military is attempting to hide the fact that due to their poor treatment of these activists, political prisoners, in fact, they have died.
Yes, for the questions, and also believe with about the Aung San Suu Kyi's sense talking. So I don't believe in the military. Yes, might be the Aung San Suu Kyi might be killed in the detain, and also our colleges also might be very harsh. Like those kind of situations might be facing. And yes, I don't believe for the military, even though they are saying like Dong San Suu Kyi is in good in hell. With Dong San Suu Kyi, with the activists, we have might be different opinions or maybe same opinions with her, but she's also state leader for the Myanmar people, for the Myanmar majority people, and also for other ethnic people as well. So she's very important for our power, and also I think military is for the, even though what they are saying, she is in good health, but I don't believe even they didn't show up in person or in the media, yes.
Mm. It's a terrifying and very sobering thought. And just before I move on, I just wanted to follow back up with you on the initial question that I was asking. With regards to what the military plans to achieve, do you believe that there is going to be anyone within Myanmar, anyone who is not already affiliated with the military, who is not affiliated with USDP, do you believe that there is going to be anyone in Myanmar who is going to be in any way, shape or form convinced by these elections? Do you believe that there will be anyone in the pro-democracy movement, in the pro-revolution movement, who will believe that the pseudo civilian government that the military would doubtless put into power, just like they did after the 2010 election, is in any way, shape or form politically legitimate? Effectively, what I'm asking is, do you believe that these elections, if they go ahead and the military announces that they or their puppet political party has won the election, do you believe that there will be any actual change in Myanmar with regards to the protest movements, with regards to the revolution, with regards to the pro-democracy movement at all? So the question, Brangmin, is, considering the history that the military have had of completely fraudulent elections and considering the state of rejection of the military and the military agenda and the military laws by the people of Myanmar, do you believe that these elections, these sham elections, are going to change anything about the pro-democracy movement, anything about the revolution? Do you believe that they will bring about any actual direct change within Myanmar for the military?
Yes. I strongly not believe there's no changes, even though after sham elections. So because the people also the same, even though they might change their positions, I think for the president might be for the Myanmar line will be sure. And also, I also reject, and also our group also reject this kind of sham elections, because we also release those kind of policy positions by the ASECC on February 1st, 2025, because the military junta, those kind of core group, didn't have legally power, those kind of for holding sham elections. So they don't have no legally, and also even though they violated their 2000 constitutions, they have like a freely participation in the parliament, 25% in lower and upper house, and also in the state and region parliament. So even though they violated those kind of situations, and also in 2008 constitutions. So I think, I strongly believe there is no changes after this sham election. So the people also the same, and also might be simple as position might be changes, but people are the same, yes.
Looking not now at the domestic ramifications of this election, but rather looking at the international ramifications, what do you believe, what do you predict we are likely to see with regards to international response to these elections and potential international acceptance and recognition of these elections and subsequent recognition of a puppet government?
That's something I've been worried about since the very beginning, because we know the fact that the international community, where the same communities that were recognized in 2008 constitution back in 2010, and then also encouraged the National League for Democracy and other democratic party to go into that framework. And, so there was a so-called transition period in starting from 2012 to around 2021, around that time. So, and I don't see a single statement from this international community that they say that they are worried about or they are not recognizing 2008 constitution anymore. That's something different from the revolutions, because the revolution already have abolished the 2008 constitution and already move on to a federal democratic framework where revolutionary leaders are now drafting a new constitutional framework. And we had a dialogue, we had a big discussions. Like, this is the first time in the history that we had to discuss and express and freely think about what we deserve, you know, for the first time, without military bossing us around, without military around us guarding the democracy and so on. But I don't think the international communities are fully convinced of what we are trying to do yet. What I can say is they stay hide behind the 5-point consensus by the ASEAN's leader, which is a failure, but they haven't revised the 5-point consensus. They couldn't go beyond 5-point consensus. 5-point consensus already manipulated by the military and already have failed, but they couldn't move beyond. That has said a lot about the limitation of the international community and the government around the country, around the world. So for the local community and revolutionary groups, we are worried if these international community, if they are not fully convinced of what we're doing, they may interrupt our revolutionary pathway, which will cause the severe consequences, you know. We have sacrificed so bad, so hard for this part, and we felt like we are already halfway, you know, through our own victory where we believe that we deserve for a federal democratic pathway. So our position is if the international community cannot move beyond 5-point consensus, just stay there, don't interfere or don't interrupt our own democratic revolutionary pathway. But of course, we want to see them support the different administration governance structure that are already emerging, you know, out of despair, out of all these different ruins we are building. We are constantly rebuilding our own structure, constantly trying to err, you know, using all of these human resources we have. So I think that's the best we can do right now, that we are informing the international community. So I think the revolutionary groups will remain the same. But what I can say, why I can say it is like looking back at the past transition period, even in that transition period led by Daw San Suu Kyi, the Nobel Peace Prize winner and all this, we still had the ethnic revolutionary groups already, you know, holding their ground, keep on, you know, fighting and keep speaking true to power and so on. So I can say now is we are joined, these revolutionary groups are joined by so many young revolutionaries that have a clear understanding of the revolution itself. So the revolution remain intact. It keep going on until the structure, the political structure is reformed. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I greatly appreciate that. Although I do have a follow-up there, because it's the perspective of the international community is always going to be a little bit different than what we would like. And the way that you framed it is, if you are not actively going to help, then at the very least, don't get in the way, don't get involved. But this is the conundrum of the international community. The international community generally feels that they have a binary choice. They either recognize and accept the legitimacy of the military dictatorship and therefore the military elections and therefore the pseudo-civilian government that the military will put in power, or they reject the military dictatorship, they reject the 2021 coup, and they reject the 2008 constitution and support the revolution and support Burmese democracy. And the problem is, neither of these two choices feels neutral, feels impartial. And the international community hates having to make a decision on internal political struggles within a country. And I think for a lot of people within the international community, for a lot of governments, especially in the international community, what it comes down to is very much symbolic things. They say, okay, who is in power in the capital city? You know, even if Naypyidaw is completely surrounded and 99% of Myanmar is controlled by revolutionary forces, they would still say, well, who's in charge in Naypyidaw? Who is officially passing legislation and things like this? And so from their perspective, the military looks like a very appealing choice. And you seem to be basically asking them to say, we reject the military, we reject the coup, we reject the dictatorship, we reject the 2008 constitution. My question, and I know this might be a big ask, is, but what message would you have to foreign governments and to people who work within foreign governments to say that this is not a compromised choice, to say, well, we'll accept the military and we'll accept the election, but we'll write you a strongly worded letter about why we're not happy with it. Why should they be more direct and more overt in rejecting the sham election and rejecting the military and rejecting the 2008 constitution?
Yeah, I think it came down to the point where you are asking your own consciousness, you know, like your own principles. What do you believe in? You know, that would go to every single individual working in different sector, either it's in the government sector or in media sector or whoever it is. Myanmar's situation, people say it's complex, but to me, it's so clear that you are against oppression or you are neutral to it or you are for it, you know, like, so these are so clear for me because the military has been proving who they really are, you know, not just since the 2021 coup. They have been enjoying the impunities for a long time, and definitely impunity has sustained them, you know, who they are right now. And amid all of these privileges they get out of 2008 constitution, even like being protected by the Nobel Peace Right laureate, you know, in the ICJ case and so on, they still commit these kind of crimes in daytime. So it's time for us to rethink of, you know, how do we actually see and take control of the bully. You know, imagine what we would do in our middle school when a bully, you know, having all of these privileges and keep bullying the people in the classroom, then how are we going to do it? What would be our punishment systems? It's like very simple to me, but I think it seemed to be complex to so many people and given a lot of excuses, like you're not united enough. Oh, military is in power because they control the airstrike. They control the fighter jets. They control the passport system, you know, like all of these different excuses doesn't seem to be reasonable and relevant to people like myself and who were born out of it and who are like sacrificing everything to fight the oppression, you know, and it's for the good. And I think we know the people in Myanmar already have a choice. Like since when they staged a coup, the first thing they will say, don't worry, we are reviewing your electoral fraud in 2020 election. We're going to come back with the new elections. So they already said that this is not a coup. This is just a control of the situation. We will come back with a new plan for you. Like we will stay for democracy. We will stay for federal democracy, something like this. So you will see they say federal democracy in their speeches. This is something new. We never heard it in the past 20 years. But now they're saying, we're going to change the constitutional conditions, articles for you. And we're going to do PR for a federal, you know, power sharing and all this. They are also saying the same thing. But what is different is the gestic that they have committed all of these grave crimes that are not reversible already and still do the same thing. And I think people already knew that even though we're going to have a new elections and the same framework, maybe with the political parties, you know, joining in, but people felt like this is a bully going around and, you know, and say, we will come back with a new script. You know, we're going to scratch the whole script that we did it for you. So now this people is now reclaiming their power, saying we are the boss here. No, you belong to your barrack. Just do your own thing. We're going to come back with our own plan. So this is the moment people stand up against the bully. And I think even if the international community don't want to be a part of it because it's internet issues, including like China, Russia is backing up, but at least don't interrupt our own way of doing things. I think that's the best we can say because I think even like-minded democracies like India, you know, they're not doing enough. They're even like perpetuating, they are even supporting, like that broke our heart. And we are surrounded by all these countries, quasi authoritarians, even though they enter the name of democracy. Hey, looking at all of these countries, that broke my heart, that broke our hearts. So we decided it's all on our own life and it's all on us. We are alone and we're going to do it until we get it. So that's the determination, not just from people like me, but from people on the ground. They already have decided since February 2021. So the only way is to keep on going. Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree, and I appreciate the point that you bring up about countries like India and the pseudo authoritarian countries, and I want to bring that now to Ual Mozo. Do you have any predictions as to these countries? Because the countries that are most likely going to reject the military's sham election, we can predict that many Western countries will reject it. The European Union countries are most likely going to reject it, Australia and so on. But those countries are far away. The countries that immediately affect Myanmar are, of course, the countries that are bordering Myanmar and the countries that are within Myanmar's sort of economic and political and demographic sphere. So we're looking at ASEAN, we're looking at China, we're looking at India and so on. Do you believe that there is going to be within this region, within the broader Asian region, that there will be much support from other countries for the response to the protest against the sham election? Or do you believe that within Myanmar's actual international political and economic sphere, that the majority of countries are likely to simply accept this election and use it as an excuse to normalize relationships with the military, normalize relationships with the junta, and to openly assist the military regime in fighting back against the revolution?
In fact, I think that whether we will win or not is depend on us. This is what I believe. Depend on us, me, depend on the people from Burma. Also, if you look at internationally, if you look at ASEAN, it will be quite difficult. It will be quite difficult, I mean, to get the full support from ASEAN for our movement. As well, also, in order to get the support from the India, the same. Also, India and China, now they are competing about the trade routes. They might be different a bit, but actually, the main aim, the main will be the cooperation with, to work with the regime. This is their priority. This is what I'm seeing for the timing. At the same time, internationally, if you look at America, look at the issue of Palestine. That's the same. That's the same. Also, in regard with the Asia, in regarding with the our regions, actually, America depend on the Chinese. I mean, our problem is the problem how the China will play. China is the main role in our region. Even if you look at Thailand, now they are moving ahead to the China. In that situation, we see that in order to win the democracy in our country, either depend on us, and we have to depend on ourselves. We have to try ourselves. This is what I see. This is a very difficult situation, but we have to fight until the end, or we have to fail. That's all. If we depend on the China, if we depend on the ASEAN, if we depend on the India, it will be quite difficult. They have their own game. They have their own interests. So when we try to work with our country cause, also, we appreciate very much for the Thailand, but at the same time, Thai have their own problem. Also, they have to think about themselves first. When they think about us, they together with their ways of thinking. Also, if the other country, if India trying to help us, maybe they may try to help us. Definitely, we have to appreciate that. But at the same time, they will also think about themselves, for the China as well. So it is difficult for us to try to ask the assistance from the different countries. If you look at this election, this so-called election, look at America, look at Europe, look at ASEAN, look at India, look at China. What is their position? So, therefore, I think that we have to show that we will win soon. We will win. We will take over the capital. This is what we have to try ourselves. If we cannot show our strength, nobody will be behind us. Nobody will be with us. Maybe, yes. It is a bit difficult, I think. But we believe that we have to win ourselves.
Absolutely. And so I just want to clarify on that, because from the way that you are speaking, it sounds as though you are predominantly concerned with China's response. Are you generally of the view that ASEAN, for example, regardless of the perspective and the opinions of the different ASEAN countries, ASEAN is not going to engage either on the revolution side or on the military side particularly strongly, and that therefore China's opinion is the more important opinion because China is actually more likely to take action and try to promote one side's success over the other side? Or have I misunderstood your position on that?
I think regarding ASEAN, actually, for the time now, we can engage with Malaysia, for the time also Indonesia, for the time, but not their positions are not spread into other countries in Asia. Even in Thailand, I think most of the Thai institution, most of the Thai people, they really, support us. But in reality, it is quite difficult for Thailand to work with us completely. In the situation we are facing, China is definitely, they think themselves Asia is, they are, even in Burma, Burma, if you look at there now, Palau and Kachin and so regime, the builders, regime, true problems, actually, they try to support the Palau, they try to support the AA, they try to support the groups in the our northeast. But right now, they are trying to move back and they try to push our friends to shake hands with the regime. In that situation, we are seeing them. So it is a bit difficult. It is a bit difficult for us. But anyway, I think our people's struggle is also different from the previous struggles. This struggle, we have to see clearly that they were still trying by themselves. In this situation, we have been witnessing. So I think that we have to do ourselves. We have to try ourselves first. And that doesn't mean we neglect with other support, other countries' support. But we have to do our best. At the same time, we have to try to engage with our friends.
Mm. Absolutely. I think that's a good strategy, and I think that's a healthy approach to it. And so on this question of what we should do, I want to come back to Brang Minh, and I just want to ask, what are the activities that currently have been undertaken? What are, if anything, what are different civil society organizations doing? What are different EROs doing? What is the NUG doing? What are different political parties doing? What are community groups doing, if anything, within what they are able to make this sham election more difficult for the military to perform, and to make the illegitimacy of the election even more clear? What sort of resistance do we see being or taking place right now?
Yes. For the sham elections, my organization are also doing various kind of movement. Right now, we are currently for the campaign for who are arriving at the overseas to not to suppose sham elections, but we cannot force those who are staying in the inside Myanmar. So we cannot by force not to go to the election stations because they need to afraid for the gun, the weapon for the Myanmar, from the Myanmar military. So even the those kind of situations, suggestion is not to go to the stations, not to go to the vote for the sham elections. So I think we are kind of doing like that, generally requesting not to go to the stations, but even they are, when they are facing like those kind of situation by the Myanmar military, so they can do. But I think the important thing is not to support for the sham elections. And the second thing, also we focus for the Kachin State people, those who already arriving in the outside of the Myanmar, they have a very good positions to point out and to speak out about the sham election situations, not to go to the embassy and not giving our vote to the Myanmar military sham elections. And this is for the Kachin State people. And also our group also alliance with ASECC and also participate in the Across Burma for 2.0 for the sham election. And also doing with other ASEAN country like Philippines and also some Malaysia country, like advocacy for their governments, not to support sham election, those organized by the Myanmar military, not accept and also reject for the sham election, those kind of activity we are doing together with ASECC. For the revolutionary groups, our Kachin State Independent Army also clearly announced they will not organize and also they will not help for the sham elections and within their territory if the military is like forcing to hold the elections in their region, and also can also announce the people not to collaborate and also not to vote and also not to collaborate to participate in the sham election as well. And also for because I'm from Kachin State, and also for the situation right now is we have already occupied so many townships under the KIA regime. So right now your military also like forcing and also redeployment again in the Kachin State, like in Pakan Township, and also in the southern Kachin State, like in Bamor Township, and also in the northern Kachin State, like in Kuala Lumpur Township. Right now, Myanmar military is like forcing to retake like those territory because they want to, show to the war like they can do elections, and also they want to do election in my Kachin State. So right now, they like doing numerous kind of airstrike and also artillery attack. They targeted the civilians area. Even though they know where is the KIA positions in the mountain, they can do targeted attack, but the Myanmar military didn't do. They they target the civilians because they want to give afraid for the people because they want to control the region, and so they want to get the vote. And also in the Pakan, it's very complicated right now. Even though the Pakan Township is not the election place, not announced yet, there might be elections or not, but they cannot control the whole township yet. So right now, they are attacking every day, like airstrike and also artillery and drone attack. So the people are really afraid. And also, they are
very worrying about the situation right now. The whole Kachin state facing the same. Right now, we are cutting the internet, and also we lost for information. So very difficult situation right now, yes.
It's absolutely a dangerous situation, and we have maximum respect for those who are risking their safety and risking their lives to try to fight back against this injustice. However, in a continuation of that theme and turning back to Ding Zhaoxuan, I want to ask about recommendations that you have for future actions, whether these are the people within Myanmar or whether it's the people in the audience listening, the international community. What is it that can be done both during the period of the election, which from the phase one, phase two, phase three plan seems to be taking place over approximately a month, but also in the immediate aftermath of the election when we would anticipate a new fake pseudo-civilian government being put into power. What recommendations do you have, or what predictions do you have for resistance activity against the military being able to hold these elections, run these elections the way that they want to run them, but also against these elections ultimately serving their purpose of painting the military as fundamentally being hand in hand with democracy and painting the following pseudo-civilian government as being a genuine civilian democratic government and B, being in any way, shape or form legitimate? What recommendations would you have?
For people on the ground, their main concern isn't about like sham election, or their main concern is to survive and to live safely, right? So now it's December, it's Christmas time, it's holiday season for everyone else. In January, people will be coming back to work, but these time and these periods since 2009 are the airstrike seasons for the minorities, especially ethnic and Christian populations. The military continue crashing down the Christmas festival and the churches, the hospital, especially Christian populated areas. So airstrike season is right now. They have estimated like 7 airstrikes every day in different areas. So election for these people on the ground, meaning more escalations of violence, more attempt to control these resistant areas, meaning more violence, more arrest, more torture, and different violations of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Also for the people in the Rohingya areas as well, stay the genocide is ongoing. So they haven't had any justice yet, even after like 7 years, 8 years of the genocide happening in Myanmar. It was a popular issues, but even that popular issue is gone. Like right now, nobody's talking about the genocide to Rohingya anymore. So these are like the reality of the people on the ground. So how are we going to do it? These elections are orchestrated by the criminals, the criminal war criminals. So it's a common sense. It's very clear that we have to punish the war criminals so that these perpetrations were end, right? So we have to hold them accountable. Make sure the countries reform Myanmar to ICC. Make sure there is an arrest warrant against Myanmar Online in different jurisdiction, in different, all of these, war court, as well as the universal jurisdictions are happening. In Argentina, for example, they arrest or issue. They issue arrest warrant against the Myanmar. Like what is going on in universal jurisdiction in Europe, in the US, or in different Asian democratic nations? Why we can have them? So we need to start supporting justice system and stop supporting the criminals. That's very basic for me. So that would be the main and biggest demand from the people, ourselves. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you very much for giving a chance to speak about our country situations. I want to say is right now our people are suffering, actually killing each other, mainly by the Myanmar military. We are facing, like, since independence from the British colony until today, Yes, most people say between 2010 and 2020 is the golden era for the like Gen Z and other people. But for my state, we have been facing so many decades, like facing oppressing by the Myanmar military, dividing and ruling our Kachin state, Kachin people, and also like for the other minority people as well, like Rohingya and other Rakhine and ethnic people as well. So I think this time is really the best chance to build back our country. Yes, I think our international friend and also college, neighboring country, we are really needed supported. Like mostly our people are like displaced by the Myanmar military. We need assistance and also we need our voice to reject Myanmar military sham elections. So this is important right now. Our international friends' advocacy and also help is also very important, and also support is very essential for our people, and also supporting to our democratic resistance forces and also groups to accept our democracy alliance. To those international friends, the main thing I want to say is please don't forget to our promise and also for our country. Yes, thank you.
What I would say, Myanmar is a nation in the making, meaning it is evolving to the form that it truly deserves since our independence time. And the current political system was deeply flawed, and that were the main root cause of the problems. So, of course, we know there are so many solutions to Myanmar issue, just like 2008 constitution, the current election. The people say that could be entry point to Myanmar peace and stability. That is wrong. The elections will not bring peace or sustainability to the country. Rather, it will instill more military rule to the deep core, and that will perpetuate more violences and impunity in the nation. So if we are truly mindful and kind of caring to the people in Myanmar, we need to look at the hard reality, the difficulty, the uncomfort, facts and fear that we have to strive for a long-term solution. And Myanmar people already working on that part. So please support the movement and the resistance in the country. And we are in solidarity with the people across the world who are struggling against the authoritarians. And we wish you best luck as well. Thank you.
Actually, I would like to request all of our friends from here, I mean, to support our young colleague from inside the country. Inside the country, I mean, economic situation is not very good. Maybe as you might have already known. As for our young colleagues, it is quite difficult for them in order to continue their struggle within the country. For this point, I really want all of you, I mean, to keep giving the support to these young people from different area, different from Mandalay, from Rangoon, from Delta, from Tenasserim, from all of the area. There's so many young people who are resisting the junta, resisting the military. I mean, in order to win the democracy they love. Therefore, I really want to request all of you to continue to support and to give support to these young people who are from the different area, different town. Also, we can give you an update about them. For the time being, most of the young people who are working in the different factory, who are working in the different offices, and from different, many of the young people had to run and run again and again. But anyway, our movement will not end it. So the young people also going to replace the old people. So for these young people, we need we need your assistance. We need them in order to, how to say, fight the, continue to fight the regime. Not only this election, but also maybe after this election, also we need your support in order to bet them. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Inside Myanmar Podcast. As with many of our conversations, the one you just heard shines a light on a pressing issue regarding the challenges and complexities now being faced by Myanmar and its people. These stories are powerful and necessary to raise our awareness. But the real value of having our awareness raised comes when it can be translated into some type of positive action. And this is where our pitch comes in. One such action could be supporting us in producing more episodes like this one so that we can continue to air diverse stories and perspectives about what's really happening in Myanmar. This will help raise the awareness and reaching even more listeners who themselves might be propelled to take some type of positive action. As you might imagine, we do have production costs, and it's mainly the generous support of our listeners that enables us to continue this important work in amplifying voices that need to be heard. And so by contributing, you're not just supporting a podcast, you're helping to create space for solutions to emerge, for stories to inspire change, and for awareness to develop into meaningful action. If you believe in the importance of these conversations and want to help us in keeping them going, visit insightmyanmar.org/donation. Together, we can make sure that these critical conversations continue to inspire action and change.
Oba yarananda dayananga na yarananya dayarananga poda ba yarananga.